It's another Sunday fun day. It's another Sunday fun day. Can you tell I slept well? I've been sleeping amazingly for the last week and a half, which, you know, my luck is about to run out in a couple of days, I'm sure, because that's how it always is for me. But maybe because it's also getting colder and I got a new mattress topper, so my bed just has more support. So basically, I had a mattress topper before, which was like a goose feather down one, which was great. But the issue is with that, it doesn't have much firmness, obviously. It just adds a sort of a cloud-like feeling, because my mattress is super firm and I love a mattress, but it was, if I can't just sleep on it, I might as well sleep on the floor. So I got that goose feather down topper, which was really good. But I noticed over time, I think I've always wanted something that's a bit more memory foam, medium firm, etc. So I ordered one maybe like three weeks ago, which then arrived, because 2 weeks ago you could say. And as I've gotten used to it, I've just noticed my sleep has gotten so much better. And their service was really good as well. It's called Brighter, but without the E, just TR. And they, I also got pillows with them. Even talking about it, it's making my eyes heavy. Oh, bitch, I'm such a tourist. Like, baby, I love me, my luxuries and my comforts, but I slept so well and I've been sleeping so well. And because now that I'm used to it, because initially it takes me a minute to readjust. And now that I've readjusted, I feel good. And I would recommend their mattress toppers if you're looking for one, or and their pillows as well. The pillows, they come with extra padding. So if you eventually over time, if it degrades, you can add some in there. So I'd recommend them. Anyway, that's how I feel today. And I've had a very good week, I would say. Yeah, nothing significantly. Yeah, compared to the mood I was in last week, I'm in a much better mood today. And I feel nice and well rested. And it's nice to feel well rested many times in a row, because it's something I really struggle with. Me and sleep, man, we don't see eye to eye. In the great of Chaka Khan, eye to eye alone, stay close with me. I just made that up. I made up the melody, not the song. But anyway, today is gonna be the day. It's always when I'm in a good mood, you know, I'm in a good mood because I'm singing a lot. So anyway, I think it's time we talk about Let's Serve Him and whatever the fuck Hybe and Source Music are doing with them. Because for a long time, I think I was okay with whatever they were doing, because a lot of the critiques I'm going to make are nothing new and there's things that people have mentioned before. But now it's like, girls, let's have a sit down talk, because it's gone on for too long now. We're still waiting for that moment to be like, oh, boom, okay, this is what we're building up to. I got it. But instead, it's still everything, the waters just keep getting muddied more and more. And for the people who don't know, they are a girl group from Hybe under Source Music. Technically, they're Source Music, but you know what I mean, under Hybe. And they debuted in May 2022. And before they debuted, there was so much build-up and hype about essentially them being Hybe's first girl group to drop since Hybe was formed. So there was a lot of pressure for them. And in a way, I guess people were expecting them to launch K-pop forward into the future and really establish something super standout and shocking, because they're following in the footsteps of Enhype and BTS and all these groups on Hybe. So when they debuted, and I remembered, I reacted to their debut, I found Fearless to be like, okay, the vocals were very subdued, the choreo was amazing, the video was great, but that was it. There was no boundary pushing, anything daring. It's a very demure approach to a debut, and that kind of signaled what will be happening in the future, because I feel like every release post then has felt a little bit left or underwhelming in some way or in one way or another, or just confusing. So the members, initially the group debuted with 6 members. It had 2 members from IZ*ONE, who's funny enough, I mentioned them in the previous episode when I was talking about Starship. So you had Sakura, who was famous in Eyes One, as well as HKT48, a Japanese group. So she had a big loyal Japanese fan base, as well as an international fan base. And then you had Chaewon, also from Eyes One, known for her vocals and also her stage presence, Eat. And she has a great look. She's known for her bob, a cunty bob. It's so funny she says that in things. She's like, cunty bob. I'm like, girl, do you know what you're saying? Like, you don't just throw away cunt like that. It's such a funny word for her to just be saying casually. Then you have Yoonjin, Korean-American, fluent in American as well. Known for just being more musically inclined and her tone and songwriting. Because I think she'd written a couple of songs for HYBE as well, but I've forgotten. And then you have Kazuha, who trained in ballet and in the Netherlands and Japan. And she was basically kind of like the elegant visual and very athletic, known for her leg raises. You had Kim Garam. There's not much we really can say because she was in there for a few weeks before bullying allegations came out and then she had to leave the group. And then Yoonjae, the youngest, fresh energy, all about personality. And from the jump, you can tell that HYBE or Source Music, they wanted to kind of match a character very well. They covered all bases, you know, Japan and this and that, and ballet and more for dancer and more for singer, singing inclined or whatever. And with all of that, they also really didn't pick out a crazy standout vocalist. Yes, Yoonjin apparently was part of an opera classical thing, but from what everyone says, it was more of a hobby rather than she had strict classical training. So, and either way, even if she did have strict classical training, that doesn't always apply to singing pop music. You have to relearn your technique. You can't go in there going, oh, Venus! Like, no, that's not how it works. So it doesn't really always translate to equal skill. The same thing with also being a ballerina doesn't mean you're going to be eating at the jazz influence or the commercial choreos that you do when you're now in a K-pop group. You are more likely to look awkward and stiff and lose a lot of your rhythm and groove because you don't really have those, you don't learn those in ballet in the same way. So yeah, so that was the lineup. And then obviously they went on to 5 members and it started off. That's not also, obviously, it's not a great way to start off your, it's not a great way to start off your journey as a group when you're already losing a member, there's controversy, you can't really address it. It's like, ugh. But on the plus side, I like when they do go from 6 to 5 because now you're an odd number, you have a beautiful center. Like, even number groups can be very annoying for that. So anyway, when they came out, so their whole branding had to do with sort of empowerment. So you've the first song, Fearless, the second song, Anti-Fragile, the third song, Unforgiven. Fearless, it's pretty self-explanatory. Anti-Fragile, it really is, it's a self-empowered, like, I'm anti-fragile, like, da-da-da-da, and it was based on, it had this Latin beat, and you could argue to say that was pretty much their blow-up, they've made it moment. Everyone loved that song. That song was amazing. The choreo was also sick. They were like, okay, let's go. And I'm always curious how these trajectories are planned for these acts, because once you have a big hit like that, do you then readjust your vision and go, well, this has done so well, should we maybe stick with this on a little bit? But clearly not, that's not the case, because right after that, they did Unforgiven, which had more of like a rock country fusion, and it had Nile Rodgers playing the guitar riff, I think, or maybe he produced, I don't know, probably both. So once again, it was visually, the video was amazing, but the concept and the song were not. It's like, okay, where have we gone in the overarching journey of the group? And then after that, they released Easy, R&B trap, pop, essentially. Very cohesive, though. But once again, no stand-up vocals, whatever. But we know that's a fourth-gen, fifth-gen thing. It's all about selling the song as a package and not having anyone stand out vocally, because you don't want your audiences to not be able to sing the song, is what they say. But then, but we've changed now, because it's like, okay. And I remember when that video dropped, I think a lot of people had issues with it. Or maybe that was Smart. I can't remember. I don't know if it was Easy or Smart. Anyway, people didn't like the video as much. And then we had Smart, which was Afrobeat, vibes, and people were a bit like, oh, why are we doing this? You're just jumping on the trend again. And then we just had Spaghetti, which is a proper experimental funky pop song featuring J-Hope from BTS. And it's very messy, memorable though. And, you know, there's some personality, but it doesn't feel like it's their personalities either. So overall, you're left very confused because they are 3 years in. And I feel like most groups, and for comparison's sake, let's look at Boy Next Door, who are, what, a year or two in? A year in. Consistent sound through, as much as it grates on me, but you can tell by how they're performing their latest song, which also came out last week, Hollywood Action, they are in their bag. You can tell, it's like, oh no, you're embodying your stardom because you've been consistent and you've been growing in your sound and you've been allowed to grow. Anything in Hypen as well. Maybe it's the case that the boy groups get better branding, but then like I say with Aespa, I had a whole podcast with them about them, and how consistent their sound has been to the point where now, of course, Rich Man was a bit weird and Dirty Work was a bit weird, but it still doesn't stray that far from who they are. It's just a little bit different, but you can take it because you're 4 years in. It's like you've built enough goodwill that people can get on board. So I do find it concerning that with Le Sserafim, we're 3 years in and we've not really had a definitive moment of this is who they are. Anti-Fragile was probably the best and it's probably their signature song at the moment. And then you had Hot as well. I forgot about that. I'm burning hot. And Hot was very easy listening pop. But once again, doesn't really dare you to think, oh, this is Le Sserafim. This is who they are. And I almost wish they had a sonic and visual branding that's maybe similar to XG in a way. XG, of course, have gone very extreme with it. They're basically, you know, these aliens is essentially their branding and how they are. And even sonically, it's got that energy. But it kind of works for them. And Le Sserafim should have done something similar. I'm not sure how they didn't capitalize on how good Anti-Fragile did and then never revisited that sound again. Like, turn it on. Like, why do labels do that? This has resonated really well. The girls sold it well. Yes, it's not ideal that you then focus on a genre which has nothing to do with your culture, but if it works, it works. And you kind of have to deal with that because everything else you're trying is not really sitting in there. And then on top of that, Spaghetti's sales were abysmal. Now, probably it's because it is a single album. If it was a full album, I'm sure maybe their sales would have been more. But now people are speculating, well, because Hype is being investigated and the police have been there, they can't be fraudulent anymore, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh, okay, maybe. Because if you think about it, Seunghan's album, and mind you, Seunghan is a new soloist. First day sold 50-something thousand. And I think it could have sold more if they were stocked up properly. They didn't stock up his albums. They didn't think it was going to sell that much. I think he sold 58,000 copies the first day. They sold 90,000 the first day. And they're featuring J-Hope as well. And they are a much larger group. So it doesn't really feel like the numbers don't match. Maybe people just weren't inspired by the name or how it sounded, or maybe simply because they're waiting for a full album and they disregarded it. Maybe some of the fans of Le Sserafim thought, well, it's J-Hope and I don't really care for him, I'm not going to buy it, and vice versa. So that could be the case as well. But now people have been looking at that and thinking, oh, these sales don't look so great. But maybe that is just the norm. If you drop a single album at this time of the year, maybe those are just the sales that you're going to have. But in combination with everything else that we feel about their branding and who they are, it kind of then makes them look like, oh, like what's going on here? Like this doesn't feel right. Because essentially in K-pop, your sound is what brings long-term loyalty. Constantly shifting with every comeback in a market that's already oversaturated means you can't have a loyal fan base, because if your sound can sound like someone else, why am I loyal to you then? Because they can give me that as well. Then what's the point? Because EXO, with their rich vocals and the R&B pop, they were giving you Monster, Call Me Baby and all these things. No one else was doing that. Red Velvet, the same. Blackpink with their vibe. New Jeans with Arcade, they came out. Everyone was like, oh, okay, I can go to you for this. But with Le Sserafim, it's similar with the whole YG issue. If you rely on attitude and being confident and, you know, we do this and we're not shy or we slay, that's not good enough, because also anyone can steal that attitude and pretend to be that as well. But if you master your sound first, people will always go, oh yeah, that reminds me of that. But if you don't have that, then people will just move you around the place. And listening to Spaghetti, I had to listen to it off camera because I was not going to react to that child. I'm like, it's just that gimmicky thing. And it reminds me, it's similar to Gnarly in a way, Cat's Eye. But the difference, with Cat's Eye, we don't know much yet, because also that was their first comeback, right? So we can't, these are the kind of things you can do within your first 2 years as a rookie group until you start to define what you are. And with Gnarly, but Gnarly in the way that is daring, still felt more signature, whereas, and it feels like it suits their personalities, they could sell it. Whereas with Le Sserafim, because we've had so many other concepts before, Spaghetti feels more like a gimmick rather than like, oh, this is them being daring and being themselves. So I hope it's just a single one-off thing and it's like, oh, okay, that's it. Because I'm waiting for them to have the moment, especially when you think of how much they've grown as well as performers. Kazuha's voice is so lovely. She was on the Mujin service and I was so impressed. And I feel like they're so underutilized, even the R&B elements that they do. With Impurities and what other R&B songs have they done? I should have double checked, but I don't really remember any other significant ones. But another thing they've not built up on, they could have come back with a song like The Chase. They could have done a song like Baby Monster. No, so I was going to say Stuck in the Middle, but that would be crazy. No. They could have done, or even something like XG, Left, Right, or Shooting Star. Like, that's where Le Sserafim, I think, would really be. Mwah, sell us the bit of R&B, do the choreo and that, but then also still do your empowered, upbeat, Latin influenced songs maybe, and then maybe touch on the rock as well. Maybe keep those three, a bit of rock, a bit of Latin, and a bit of R&B and pop, while still keeping the messaging right. Because once again, another girl group who eats with consistency, IVE, they've not missed. Everything has been so, yes, there have been a couple of weird songs, but that was also a double title track. The main title track was Draw You Back In. It's like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing. But it's paid off. They have had a consistent, even though sometimes the influence of the songs will be like, for example, their debut song had kind of like that Bangra, kind of almost South Asian sound. It's very different to then After Like, which samples I Will Survive, disco influence, but there's still a consistency in the sound where I don't know if how they treat the vocals, the melodies, or how they structure the songs. You feel like, oh, this is an IVE song. And also the videos really match the energies of the song very well. And that's something that HYBE has gotten confused with Le Sserafim, and has not always given them a concept that really matches in terms of even the choreo. The choreo for Easy at times looked awkward because not everyone has mastered the hip-hop groove, and that was a big mistake. So I think, yeah, it was Easy that people had an issue with. Maybe people was me, because I think I remember saying I didn't enjoy how they approached the choreo and it looked a bit awkward because everyone's trying to do like their hip-hop grooves, and I'm like, you guys have not really done that before. it just didn't feel like there was a lot of thought put into it. And it does feel like a lot of girl groups get the short end of the stick, because the talent is not the issue, the visuals are not the issue, it's the lack of concept. And they could even saw with something that's very like Artemis or L'Assemble or Re:Scene, like they could do those things enough. And those fifth gen groups are eating when it comes to their sounds and their concepts. And in this world of things changing, you can absolutely get lost in the crossroads, whatever. And also they had Crazy, to me, I think is their best title track and their best video. It was, what genre would you say that? It's kind of like a dance, but ballroom inspired vibe, dance house song, you could say. Yeah, dance house song with a heavy beat, great production, catchy kind of hooky moment in the melody. Of course, not a lot of vocals, but that's what that genre is about. But that song was so perfectly attached to the visual and the choreo and having the black, what you call them, the black Vogue houses, they're voguing and the ballroom houses and all that stuff. Like, that was a moment. And what did they do with it? Nothing. They came back with Hot, the chilled pop song. It's like, come on, like, can we build on something? You're getting to touch these magical moments and then you go away and then now you come back with something completely different. And then it just feels more like, that's probably why Spaghetti feels more like a gimmick, because you're not doing this because it feels authentic to your group's branding, the group's branding and sound. It's just like, let's just do whatever we can to gain identity. So people then don't buy into it. So you've had, because imagine if you had Anti-Fragile and then Crazy as a comeback back to back. Oh my God, it would be like, yes, we are keeping this sort of this punchy energy. But no, we had so many things in between that. So I do feel like they're getting a little bit lost in there. And I made a joke on Discord being like, I don't miss Le Sserafim. And it's because we're experiencing so many unique, exciting fifth gen groups. If it's not Kiras, Kiki, Hearts to Hearts, Re:Scene, Baby Monster, who else? There's a few. We're experiencing so many exciting groups that some of the fourth gen girlies can get left behind. Because if you're not bringing something that feels more true artistically and you're coming for gimmicks, then unfortunately, you just don't seem as exciting. And maybe we've missed some opportunities for them to really be a part of. I don't see them on variety shows. I don't see them showcasing their singing or showcasing their dancing in the way that's like, oh, this is who we are. Like, I would love to see them on more, I guess we can do some more Mujin services and all things of that matter, or things, I don't know, maybe because they're not a group that I follow, the content has not come to me. But with other groups, it feels like the content finds you, whether you're a fan of them or not. But, you know, we'll see what they come back with when they do release a mini album. But I can't really hold my breath, because it doesn't seem like Source Music is inspired in what they're doing for them and are not really focused on what they can truly bring to the table for themselves. So yeah, that's my thoughts on them. And I don't know, a part of me still feels like they could do something, especially if they utilize Kazuha's voice in a way that's very surprising and new. She's got a really beautiful, soft voice that if they had came with like a Tinashe, Janet Jackson inspired R&B title track that had a really pretty soft hook sung by her and she starts a song, and I can imagine the whole vision, something really daring. Oh, that would be so sick. That would be, because they've got a lot of stage presence. Even when they're touring, their performances were eating. So they've grown a lot, but the music they're giving is not on par with what they could do. And in the way the competition is in this industry, oh, you will lose your spot. So that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. Please follow the podcast, like and comment and all those kind of things. And I'll speak to you later.